I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. You've read this passage of Scripture many, many times, I'm sure. You probably heard it preached from several times. And I hear people say this is a parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. But really, this passage of Scripture here is one parable, only one parable in three parts. And it's not the parable of the lost sheep, it's the parable of the seeking shepherd. It's the parable of the effectual spirit. It's the parable of the story of the forgiving, loving Father. And it's one parable. And I think you'll see this as I read it, as I put certain emphasis on certain places. You know, the shepherd, the seeking shepherd, you have the Christ the shepherd, and Christ the sacrifice, and Christ the suffering Savior. But here you have the effectual spirit. There's no blood in this second story. And there's no seeking shepherd. There's an effectual Holy Spirit calling someone and taking light and allowing the gospel light to reveal what needs to be revealed. And then in the third part of this one parable is a forgiving, loving Father, but there's a repentant son. There's a repenting son. He willingly came back home. And there was a forgiving Father who was willing to forgive, and a Father who gave him no rebuke, no reproach, but nothing but a kiss. It's a beautiful, beautiful one parable. And let's look at it together here, chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, unto those Pharisees, unto those scornful men. He spake this parable to them. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? Now, notice this pronoun here, he, all the way through this first 7 verses. If he lose one of his sheep, doth not go leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it. And when he hath found the sheep, he lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep which was lost. For I say unto you, and each one of these parts, each one of these stories, ends with the same statement. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. You know, these people had said, this man received sinners. Well, that's why he came, to receive sinners, to save sinners. And he said, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance either. Now, here's the second part of this one parable. Likewise, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it, using the light of that candle to illuminate the whole house and find her coin. And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, this is the Master speaking now, I say to you, to these people who accused him of hobnobbing with sinners, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father? Here we enter the main character in this third part of the story. How many servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. His heart has been that way for a long time. His eye has been in that direction a long time. He'd been looking for that boy to come back. And when the father saw him, a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, repentant son, said, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand. That's the sign of a son, an heir, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found, and they began to be merry. I found this note in some writings a long time ago. Someone wrote about this parable. It's like a giant pyramid. This one parable is like a giant pyramid with three sides. Pyramid has three sides. And there's an inscription on each side. And each inscription is needful for the other. They don't stand alone. Each one, each story in this parable is essential for the fulfillment of that story. And when these three stories are studied together, they present one glorious, wonderful gospel. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's like, you know, I hear people say, well, this is the gospel in a nutshell. You can't put the gospel in a nutshell, my soul, in any other kind of shell. It's a glorious gospel. It's a gospel of the loving Father and the seeking Son and the effectual Holy Spirit. Let me show you an example of this. Just give one verse of Scripture. Don't turn to it. I was quoted for Isaiah 9:6. He said, unto us a child is born. Well, that's not a full gospel there. But the second part, the second inscription said, unto us a son is given. The God, the man, and the God. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. What's the third part? And the government will be on his shoulder. Now you've got a gospel there. You've got a sovereign Lord, and you've got the seeking sinner, all that right there. Listen to this one. In Romans 8, all things work together for good to them who love God. People use that all the time. But that's not, that's just part of it. All things do not work together for everybody. It says for those who love God, and what's this? Who are called according to His purpose. Oh, that's the full story. But now, here's the third part. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. Oh, you've got a whole gospel there. Here's a third one that I think is a good illustration here. John 6:37. All that My Father giveth Me shall come to Me. Well, I know that. But watch this second part. It's so essential. And he that cometh to Me, I will no wise cast out. Got that? Well, and here's the third. For I came down from heaven not to do My will, but the will of Him that sent. That's the whole story. The whole story. And that's what this is here. I found that out a long time ago and been looking at it for a long time about this parable. This parable with three stories, three parts. Now, here's the occasion for this parable. Let's start with verse 1. Then drew near unto Him publicans and sinners. That's sinners now. They came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees, standing off to the side, they murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners." These people were saying this. They were saying this in scorn, in sarcasm, in ridicule. But that's the best news a sinner ever heard. This man received sinners. You had a lady in our church. Her name is Edith. Edith's been gone a long time. I've known her for many years. And I preached on this one time. She came out the church door and I said, "Found your name in the Bible." She said, "You found my name in the Bible? My name Edith in the Bible?" "Yes, sir, I sure did. I found your name in the Bible." She said, "Where is it?" I said, "Right here. It says, 'This man received sinners and Edith with them.'" She said, "Glory!" And that became her favorite scripture. All of that. "This man received sinners and Edith with them." Me with them. You with them. I'm glad he does. Oh, how glad. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. This same crowd was giving our Lord a hard time over eating and drinking with sinners. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Matthew 9, verse 9. I want you to read this. In Matthew 9, verse 10. Matthew 9, verse 10. "It came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and with His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, 'Scornful, sarcastic, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners?' But when the Lord Jesus heard that, He said to them, 'They that be whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.'" Now you go learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am come to call, not to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance." Kara Ann's grandfather, Jeff Thornberry, was a great, good, precious friend of mine. He was my first elder when I was a 24-year-old preacher called to that big church in Ashland, you know. And he was my teacher and mentor. And he said to me one day, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I'd rather stand before God charged with murder than stand before God charged with self-righteousness." Now, a lot of people raise their eyebrows at that, you know. "I'd rather stand before God charged with murder than with self-righteousness." Then he went on to say, "The Lord saves murderers, save that thief. save Saul of Tarsus. You know, Saul of Tarsus had a part in the death of Stephen. He held their coats while they stoned Stephen. He's a murderer, wasn't he? And the Lord saved murderers, but the Lord never, ever saved a self-righteous man. So Jeff was telling the truth, wasn't he? I'd rather stand before God charged with murder than be charged with self-righteousness. You see, salvation is not by merit. It's by sovereign mercy. Salvation is not by works. It's by His effectual grace. And salvation is never, ever by your holiness, but by His. Well, let's look at our parable here. I want you to look at verses 1 through 4 through 7. Now, who's the leading character in these four verses? Who's the leading character? Not the sheep. Not the 99. It's not the neighbors and friends. All you can say about that sheep is he's lost. And all you can say about us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But I tell you, you can say a lot about this shepherd. Listen to him. What man of you having 100 sheep, he has a lot of sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He said thousands of them, thousands. He said a number which no man can number. He has a lot of sheep. Yeah, that's right. And he owns them. They're his. He said, what man of you having, owning, possessing these sheep? They're mine. They're mine. They're his sheep. I don't care if they're lost or stolen or wandering or strayed away. They're still his sheep. They're my sheep. That's exactly right. And he says here, he said, right here in verse 4, he says, he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that sheep. He goes after him until he finds it. He finds a sheep. You know, back here in verse, in this fourth verse, I skipped over this, but it'd be interesting to you. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one, does not leave the 99? Now, let me give you a lesson here. Who are the 99? I'll give you a choice. I'll give you three choices. Here's the first one. Matthew Poole. Now, he's a well-noted, long-time commentator. Matthew Poole, one of the best commentators that you can buy. He says, these 99 are sheep that have already been found. Who's this 99? Well, John Gill. Now, I also suppose there's a writer living that's better than John, a writer living or dead better than John Gill back in the 1700s. John Gill says they're self-righteous people. Another commentator says this. Maybe they're infants who never have sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So just take your pick. Who are the 99? I don't have the faintest idea. And what's more, you don't either. Yeah. Because no parable can walk on four legs. This is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And it has its places and it has its application, but there's another place where you just can't find the application. Because we're looking at the shepherd right now. We're not looking at the sheep. We're looking at the shepherd. That's the leading character in this parable right here. They're his sheep. He owns these sheep, whether lost or stolen or wandering away. Where'd he get them? Where did he get these sheep? His father gave them to him. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. His father gave him to John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. Watch this. John 10, verse 27 through 30. Listen to this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They're my sheep. and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. He loves these sheep. They're His. He died for them. He said, I laid down my life for my sheep. And He goes after that sheep. And the Scripture says here in our text, in verse 4, He goes after that which is lost until He finds it. And when He finds it, He layeth it on His shoulders. He layeth it on His shoulders and says to His neighbors and friends, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep that was lost. Let me tell you, the Samaritan woman, He found her. The Ethiopian eunuch, He found him. Lydia, seller of purple, from the city of Thyatira, came down to Philippi, went over there to that group of women meeting to on the Sabbath day because they had no synagogue in which to meet. And she met with them, and Paul walked in with the gospel. And he found her. He found Timothy. And he found you. And he found me. That's right. He said, I'll go after it. They're my sheep. And I'll go after them till I find them. I'll put them on my shoulder. And I'm going to bring them home. He said, go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. We used to sing an old song. The shepherd went out to search for the sheep. And all through the night on the rocky steep, he searched till he found him. And with love bands he bound him. And I was that sheep. I was that poor lost sheep. That's it. And that's what the leading character in this story here is. That is the shepherd. Is the shepherd. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned all us to our own way. But Lord laid on him my iniquity and your iniquity paid for. All right, let's see about this second part here. Verse 8 through 10. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, does not light a candle, sweep the house, and seeks diligently for her? Who's the leading character here? The Cohen? No. The Cohen's lifeless. The Cohen doesn't know it's even lost. It's totally lifeless. Doesn't know. And then she brings a light. The light's not the leading character. The woman is. The light is that instrument she used to help her find her coin. This is the Spirit of God. All right. Here's the application here. Number one, it was her coin. It was her. Number two, it was lost in her house. That's right. In my Father's house. That's where it was lost. Number three, it was lost in the darkness. But number four, here's the main part of this whole story here, this part here. She took a light. What is that light? It's the gospel, which is absolutely essential for the salvation of a sinner. It's the gospel light. Let me show you the scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Now watch here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 3. If our gospel be hid. Well, the lost coin was lost and it was hidden. It was lifeless. It was dead. Can't find itself. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. And I just see that woman. She's going lost. Can't
know where she is. She brought a light. She brought a light. And she swept the house. And she used that light. And that light focused on that colon. That light revealed that colon. That light revealed where it was. Light revealed it. And she picked it up.
Oh, that's what it's saying here. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, one time there was an Ethiopian eunuch who went to Jerusalem to worship. Went up there for 3 days to these sacrifices and all baptisms and all these things. And he went up there to try to find God. Find out something about God. He was Ethiopian, a man of great fame in his home country. He's a treasurer, the treasurer of Ethiopia. And she went up there and he stayed for 3 days. But he never learned anything. Hearing all these Sadducees and Pharisees, and he's on his way back, he was sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. He was reading the prophet Isaiah on his way back to Ethiopia. And the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. He sent a light. And Philip, he sent Philip down. And Philip walked alongside the chariot. And he heard him reading Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes were healed. He heard him reading. And he looked in the chariot. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" No, he didn't. I didn't either. You know, I came home from the Navy. I did a little preaching in the Navy. Didn't know a thing. Totally ignorant. When I went into the Navy, I was 17 years old. And I wanted to apply for chaplain's assistant because I was a religious person. I was a member of the First Baptist Church in Fairfield, Alabama, and worked with young people and things like that. Didn't know the gospel. Didn't know the gospel at all. Just religious, free will. And did a little preaching because I was on a ship. I was on a landing ship. We took the Marines from Maui to Iwo Jima and from there to Okinawa. We had just 120 men on the ship, but we had about 300 Marines and soldiers usually for the invasion, but no chaplain. And so one of the officers said to me, he said, "Well, can you preach?" I said, "No, I'll try though." He said, "I can sing if you can preach." So we got together and had little services on the ship there, but didn't know the gospel. Didn't know it, not a bit. Well, I got Ethiopian eunuch, just reading scripture, didn't know anything about it. This man was reading the scripture. "Do you understand what you read? Do you understand it?" "No, I didn't understand it. I was playing church." But one day God opened my heart and I did understand it. 1950, when I was 24 years old, I learned the gospel. But anyway, Ethiopian eunuch said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "I can't, except somebody show me." And Philip got in up in the chair and he said, This man he's talking about here, this man, who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man?" And then the light shone through. And then the gospel was proclaimed. Then the light, that woman took the light. There it is. When God reveals, opens your eyes, you got to have two things to see. Eyes and light. You can have eyes and not see. You got to have light. You got to have the light of the gospel. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that Philip began right there to preach to him Jesus Christ. I don't know how long they were in that chair and how long they were riding along, but I do know this. After a while, the man said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Evidently, Philip had talked to him about confessing Christ and following the Lord in baptism and all these things. He'd gone through the scriptures with it. He said, what does hinder me from being baptized right now? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe. He didn't know this before. He didn't know this before. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Light by the Spirit of God. The gospel. You've got to have the gospel. You've got to hear the gospel. Not feeling, not emotion. The gospel. The truth of God. Truth of God. Got to have it. How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear without an effectual Holy Spirit to take the light of the gospel and shine in these poor, darkened eyes of our, hearts of ours, and let us see Christ the glory of God? That's right. That's the second part. Let's see the third part here. The third part, Luke 15. The third part is, you know, over here, find this in Luke 15. I'll come back to this. But when Paul was talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Father in redemption, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in substitution, and the work of the Spirit in regeneration, he said, let me read it for you. It comes and goes, Dr. Paul. It comes and then it's gone. I'm glad I can laugh at you. here's what he said. He said, in whom you trusted. In whom you trusted. After you heard the word of truth. You didn't trust him till you heard the word of truth. Listen. The gospel of your salvation. In whom? In whom you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's that Holy Spirit bringing the light. And you heard and you believe, you saved. That's right. Here's the last one. Luke 15, 8 through 10. I love this right here. It's verses, not 8 through 10, that's verse 11. And these certain man had two sons. A younger son said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered together and everything and took his journey into far country, and there wasted his substance, his righteous living. And when he spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, this is a Jew, and he's out, had to go feed the swine. That was a tough experience for him. He's about as low now as a fella can get. Just about as low as a fella can get. He sent him to feed the swine, and he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, now, how did he come to himself? There's no Holy Spirit there. There's no word to read. There's no gospel. See, what we're talking about here, we've talked about the shepherd who seeks and finds, the Holy Spirit who opens the heart's door, and the Father who forgives. And that's who we're talking about now, the Father. Stay with the Father. Do that. Stay with the Father. All right. And he came to him and said, I'm going to tell you about my Father, how wonderful he is. This old boy's going to tell you about his dad now. Tell you about my dad. How many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare? That's a wonderful father. Those servants have all the bread they need. You know, the scripture tells us that I'm old. I've been young, but I'm old. I've never seen God's seed begging bread. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And even these servants of the Father have plenty to eat. To spare. That's right. I will arise and I'll go to my father, verse 18. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I like that. He didn't say I've sinned against you. He said, I've sinned against God. My sins are against God. He's telling the truth. He had a real awakening here. I've sinned against heaven before you. I'm not fit to be, I'm not worthy to be called a son. Don't make me a son. Just make me a hired servant. This is true repentance. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. I just somehow believe that father had a vigil. That he looked for that boy coming down that road one of these days. He knows he's coming. And he looked for him to come. So I'm a great way off. And his father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Kissed him. And the son says, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm not fit to be called a son. But now wait a minute. There's no rebuke. The father did not rebuke him. The father did not demand restitution. I hear these people talking about restitution. They're going to have to make up what I've done. No restitution is needed. Not when love's present. No rebuke, no restitution, no probation. Heard a man say not long ago, well, I'll receive you, but it's going to take time. Not love. Love doesn't take time. It's right now. No rebuke, no restitution, no probation. He kissed him. And he said, listen to this, verse 22, bring forth the best robe. No secondhand garments for God's son. Bring the best robe, the robe of Christ's righteousness. And you put it on him. You put it on him. And bring a ring. That's a token of union, of sonship, and heir. This is my son. This is no stranger. This is my son. He welcomes home his lost sons. Shoes on his feet. He's going to walk a different path now. He's going to have new shoes. New shoes. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. My son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. He began to be married. You know, as we get older, we kind of go through all of these things that God teaches us. All of the wonderful, loving Savior that seeks his own and finds them, searches for them till he finds them, puts them on his shoulder and takes them home. And the Holy Spirit who brings us the gospel. I thank God down there in 1950 in April of 1950, when I heard the gospel for the first time at Pollard Baptist Church, Brother Barton preached the gospel to me. I was so glad to hear that glorious good news. Good news. And then the Father, all that shenanigans, you know, religion and dead works, and he doesn't may have a restitution. He doesn't put you on probation. You know, when I used to lead the singing, I asked a woman to sing. This is a true story. I asked a dear lady. I loved her very much. She's the mother of a good friend of mine. And she had a beautiful voice. And I asked her. She'd never sung at the church before. And I asked her to sing. And one of the deacons came up to me. And he whispered to me over to the side. He said, I'd rather you wouldn't ask her to sing. And I said, why wouldn't, why? She's a believer. Oh, yes, but she hadn't lived long enough to live down with her past. So we better not have her sing. I told the pastor, I said, she sings or I go home. She sang. Yeah. But no restitution, no probation, just forgiveness. But like I said, when you get older, you go through all these troubles. Doris and I had three sons and a daughter. And we've got three sons and a daughter. Two of them in glory now, but the other two are still living in our presence and fellowship. Anyway, one morning we woke up back in 1960s, you know. Do you remember the? We woke up one morning and to get the children off school, and our 16-year-old was gone. His bed hadn't been slept in, and he was gone. And he ran away from home. And we spent a whole month hoping, seeking, some calling, doing different things, but nobody had seen him or knew where he was or anything for a whole month. That's tough. That's a tough trial. But I left home and had to go to Houston, Texas for a meeting and to preach out there. And Doris was home with the other three children. And the phone rang late one night. And Doris was calling. She said, "Danny's home." I said, "Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful." We put him on the phone. So we put him on the phone, and he said, "Dad, I'm sorry." I said, "Forget it. Forget it. You're home. We're glad. Don't ever bring it up. Don't tell me where you were, what you did, or why you did it. Anything. Just, I'm glad you're home. Forgiveness. Love." That's the way it responds. So this is my son. Was lost. Now he's found. And when that father ran to meet him, put his arm around him and kissed him. Kissed him. Put the best robe on him, shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger. "Let's have a party. Let's have a party." All right. I hope the Lord bless that to you. Brother Paul will lead our singing.